You're listening to Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. This show is a fun and informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. These are people who serve their community in a meaningful capacity on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Well, welcome. I am here live in the studio, and this is my first live show for the new year. I am so thankful. It is January 9th, 2014. That's the first time I've said that out loud, so pretty exciting. I don't know about you, but the new year, it does funny things to people, doesn't it? People just start to feel like they need to kind of out with the old and with the new. There's just this funny pressure, I guess, to do something right and to change things up a bit, head in the right direction. And so I don't know, I mean, especially if you've fallen off of the path or you just want to make some simple improvements, not such, you know, drastic changes. But what is it about the new year that's a good time to do that? Something about starting that calendar over and getting rid of that full calendar and getting that fresh new one out. I don't know, it does things to people. So I thought with that, it might be nice to have a life coach come in and tell us some of the ways that we can help ourselves hold on to those New Year's resolutions, maybe a little bit beyond February. I don't know about you, but those seem to fall off rather quickly, probably by the time I'm putting the Christmas ornaments away, the New Year's resolutions are out too. So anyway, I thought, well, let's see if we can get a little more stick-to-itiveness today. And I wanted to bring in life coach Joyce Catherine of Satori Discovery to tell us, A, what is life coaching? And B, how can we adopt some good habits and keep them longer this year so that we can see some really positive changes in our life? So I want to introduce Joyce. Joyce Catherine, welcome to the studio. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Kimberly. Happy New Year to everybody as well. Nice to be here.
Good. Well, I'm happy you're here too. I'm going to maybe just adjust your mic a little bit because I can't hear you. Maybe come a little closer to the end. Is that better?
Is it better now?
I think so.
Try this. Talk to the side of that. Okay. There we go.
Okay. Is that better?
It is. I can hear myself now too.
Okay, good. I see, just hear a little bit of static on the line. I want to make sure we're not doing something here wrong. But oh man, how about anybody want to donate for a new board at KUCI? We're ready. We're ready. We just need to get our donors in line so we can make some minor improvements on the technology here. We've got a good thing going and we want to keep it going and be able to hear everybody loud and clear. But okay, so life coaching, big mystery to me, but it just is, it's one of those things that people are talking a lot about now. And I'm fascinated and I want to know what is life coaching?
Well, life coaching basically is helping people get past where they might be stuck, what their goal, say you're talking about New Year's resolutions, whether it's a fitness, if it's a career, whatever their goal is, they feel like they've plateaued or kind of feel more mediocre, and they want to get, you know, someone to help them get past that. And you can view life coaches as a personal life trainer.
That's better, isn't it?
Is that better? It is, yes.
Okay, good. A personal life trainer. Wow. Okay, so I don't know. I can remember the first time, I must have been in my early 20s, and I told my parents I was going to go to a therapist, and they got really irritated with me. And they're like, well, what's, you know, your life is perfect. Why do you need to go to a therapist? And I don't know. I just reached a point where I knew I needed to talk to somebody, and I could not necessarily talk to the people in my own life. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what life coaching can do for somebody. Maybe they don't necessarily think they have a glaring problem that they can, that they need a therapist for. You know, they don't need to be psychoanalyzed, but maybe is life coaching maybe a baby step towards the right direction?
It can be. I mean, life coaches, we're not therapists, we're not counselors. So if somebody is looking to talk about their goals and the thing that they want to do in their life, definitely a life coach is, you know, there. If it's just a, hey, I need someone to, like a girlfriend, you know, talk about my problems but not looking for solutions or anything, that's not a life coach. So if it's just to have someone listen to you, no. Life coaching, we want our clients to be able to commit to making a difference in their life, to move forward and overcome obstacles.
Okay. So, okay, let's just go right into it then. What's one of those obstacles?
Quite honestly, a lot of times it might be fear. It might be they are complacent. Maybe they're lazy. It could be a lot of different things that might be the obstacle. We usually are our own worst enemy as to self-sabotaging or creating our own obstacles. Let me give you an example, if you don't mind. Like career-wise, you might have somebody that, you know, say as they never have time, they're always really busy, and, you know, when a coach is talking with them to kind of, you know, dissecting their time to look at where their blocks are to create more time for themselves, to create more balance in their life, you find out they're a control freak. So they're the one that is, you know, maybe a manager now or whatever, but they have to do everything themselves. They're not delegating. They're telling their employee, you know, that, okay, I've got it. They're not really training their employee because, you know, they can do it better than anybody else.
Interesting. Okay, so that's a good example, because one of the things I'm aware of is we all say the terms now. We all have such a really good ability to handle the terms, the psychoanalysis terms, all these terms, but we can't necessarily nail it down for ourselves. What is it about the human being where we can't see ourselves as clearly as we can see the problems of another individual?
No one likes to face their own faults, their own flaws. A lot of times we don't want to look in the mirror and say, okay, this was my action, that was my decision. Not having the accountability. A lot of people are afraid or don't want to take the accountability. And so, we can see other people because that's not dissecting ourselves. That's not looking at ourselves as to what is the roadblock. So we can see things clearly for other people. But then when it comes to us, you know, there's maybe when you're looking at excelling at something, you might have to give something up to become this new person. And maybe people are afraid to look at what is it that I would have to give up to become this new person to truly achieve the goal and success that they want.
And we're all stuck on this path, aren't we? There's no way of getting off of it. Everybody has to face some changes in their life at some time or another that are difficult to see. What would make somebody go to see a life coach rather than a therapist? What's the difference? How do they know?
Well, there was an article that USA Today did back in 2002, and they had this line in there that I thought was just great. And it said that personal growth is hot, diagnosis is not. And I just love that statement.
It's great, yeah.
Because it's true. I mean, a lot of people don't want to be diagnosed, but they want to know how to be encouraged, how to have somebody cheer them on, how to have somebody show them how to become a better person versus just sit there and be analyzed all the time.
Right. Or say, what happened to you? Why are you this way? We're here to accept that we've got this issue and now we want to move past it.
Right.
Or find the most effective way to move past it. Okay. So life coaching, I think it's a buzzword right now, maybe getting a bit of some confusion with respect to it. Who are some of the famous life coaches? If we can look back into our past and find out who some of the famous life coaches are that we can call upon.
Well, I would say one that I think most people are familiar with and may not even realize that he is a life coach is Tony Robbins.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
And he was probably one of the original and around when the first terminology of life coaching was first being evolved back from, I think, the late 70s is when he started. The industry itself back then was more a motivational factor. And like I said, now it's turned into more people having their own life personal trainer.
So nobody's asking people to walk over hot coals anymore. That's not what this is about, right?
I believe those are more spiritual retreats.
Are they? Okay. Well, okay, just to get a little bit into your credentials, you are certified as a life coach,
yes.
A professional coach. These are all separate certifications.
Yes.
A bereavement coach, a relationship coach, a spiritual coach, and a wellness and health coach.
Yes.
All different things. Okay,
yes.
So.
And general life coach.
And a general, that we said in the beginning, yeah. So what makes somebody pursue a path like this? You had a career, you were a manufacturing sales rep, you were just chugging along there doing fine. What makes you make such a big shift like this? What happened?
I always had this this calling. I always felt like there was something missing in my life. And because I had a very successful manufacturing business sales and management career, but it wasn't fulfilling to me. And I was trying to determine, you know, what was it? And I woke up one day with this loud voice in my head saying I was supposed to be a life coach and didn't even know what that was and had to go walk in the other room to my laptop to do the research on it. And when I started reading descriptions and finding the research, I was like, oh my gosh. And I just knew instantly that that was true, that that was what I was supposed to do. And I was supposed to be helping people, you know, touch people's lives and help them become better and successful within their own lives.
Okay, that's messy though. So why, I guess maybe that could be the answer to the question, is why we need somebody other than a close friend or a family member is because it does get messy, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, quite honestly, when you think of the girlfriend that comes to you and is talking about, say, her dating habits, and you see her do the same patterns over and over and over again, and every time she's coming to you asking for advice, you know, she really doesn't want to hear your advice. She just wants to talk to you because whatever you tell her, she's not going to do it anyways. You know, think about your she's doing the same patterns because she's not looking in the mirror of why are the same patterns happening. A life coach is going to make them not just say, okay, I'm going to, you know, listen, okay, here's the problem, let's dissect it, in regard, not dissect it, but ask, where is this coming from, what's the pattern and why? But the answers are all within us already. And we have our own best answers, but we have our blinders on that we can't see it. So life coaches help bring out the best answers of how to move forward, of, you know, what, say that, like in that situation with the girlfriend, you know, she realizes, okay, I'm choosing the same guys. Okay, why is she choosing the same guys? And then she starts, you know, realizing by asking various questions, you can get to the root that, you know, maybe she's looking for the daddy figure, or maybe she's truly afraid of love, and that's why she's choosing the wrong people, because of the fact that she's really afraid to put her heart out there. So subconsciously, she's self-sabotaging all the relationships.
Okay, I can see that. That's kind of maybe a typical pattern, right? If you can put people in a typical category without getting in trouble. Hey, without being too personal, we were meeting and having dinner with our oldest son, and I believe he's probably just gone through maybe his first heartbreak. And as he's dealing, it was so wonderful, A, to see him fall in love. And of course, as a parent, you just don't ever want your kids' hearts to break. But he was certainly getting lots of feedback from friends as to what to do and how to handle it. And as a parent further down the path than he is on his own journey, I was listening and I thought, oh my gosh, some of the advice that's coming, I'm worried about. I mean, I understand it. It all makes sense. But some of the people were saying, yeah, you can never give more than you're getting. You can never put more into the relationship than the other person's putting into the relationship. If the person's only giving you 20%, you give them a little less, you know. And all these things sound so manipulative.
Wow.
And so unhealthy and certainly not what you'd want to start life's journey out with, because he had such a positive experience showing love in the beginning. It just didn't make sense to want to cut that off for him. I don't know.
So for a person, say, that would love roses and flowers, and they cut flowers and they put them in a vase and they enjoy the flowers and they bloom and the smell is gorgeous, and then the flowers die and you have to throw them away. Are they, just because they lost that flower, are they going to buy new ones again in the future because they lost the original one?
It's such a great analogy, and I think that might be kind of the advice I gave him. I said, our hearts are meant to grow, not shrink. And I said, we're really supposed to love, especially when you're young and single, as many people as you can fill in your heart. And I said, it's something I tried to show you when you were young, is that there was no limit on how many people you could give your love and your loyalty to. And the more people you give it to, the more your heart can grow. And I said, well, this was funny because this was in front of my husband, who he had a very quizzical look on his face. But I said, you know, you're meant to love as many people as you can love on, you know, all throughout your life. I said, but when you get married, you kind of have to choose one. And I go, you really want to love a lot of people before you get married and learn about yourself and learn about love and life and human beings and human qualities. And this wasn't a physical, you know, I'm not telling him to go out and be, you know, irresponsible in a physical sort of way, but really to not start out life with this painful, you know, shutting off the flow of something that was really great to happen. So I'm going to take that fresh flower example to him and say, hey, you know, try this out. Try this one on for a size.
I mean, the wonderful thing about the human heart is it can never have too much love or give too much love.
Right.
You know, there's never the full capacity of a human heart. And, you know, one thing, you know, regarding relationships and, you know, especially, say, with New Year's resolutions of people wanting to find their partner this year because they're wanting to get married or have that lifetime partner, is it's really come to steps of, you know, looking at yourself as far as accepting who you are, forgiving yourself, forgiving others, not being judgmental, and learning to love yourself unconditionally first. Because you cannot love somebody else unconditionally until you love yourself unconditionally.
It's so true. And again, those are words that are really hard to put into understanding, isn't it? It's just I suppose that might be helpful to have somebody that's outside of your social network come in and play that role. Let's talk, if we could, for a minute about the structure of the relationship that one could have with a life coach.
Okay, I'm not quite sure.
Well, let's say I decide I need a life coach. I make that phone call. What's it going to look like before I get there? Before I start that journey, let's say. What's that journey going to look like for me?
So the first phone call into someone calling me and saying I'm interested in a life coach?
Yeah, something. Okay. Let's talk like that.
Well, again, it's going to start with somebody wanting to advance in their life, whether it's they're wanting to focus on career, the fitness, relationships, spirituality, the health fitness aspect. They're going to say, okay, you know what, I know I can't do this alone. I need somebody there that's going to hold me accountable, somebody that's going to push me outside of my comfort zone, somebody that's going to push me to excel and is not going to accept the excuses and really make me, you know, do the work. They're going to seek out a life coach that specializes in the field they're wanting the coaching area in. Find me online @thetoridiscovery.com. Call me up or send me an email. We'll set an initial one free intro session so that we can make sure we're the right match for each other.
Oh, that's actually a really important part of the equation because it's a little bit like dating. You know, there has to be some chemistry, doesn't there?
There does, because it doesn't always mean every life coach is for every person or every person is for every life coach. I mean, there's a lot of niches out there and, again, certain personality types that you want to find a personality type of the life coach that's going to work for you. And that's why a lot of times that first 1 hour session, really you find out, okay, is this a good match? And, you know, both the coach and the client usually know, okay, this feels good. And then you schedule the how many sessions and go from there.
And so, okay, so let's say somebody's fearful about getting in, because I know when people get into therapy, they could be there for years. And like, I just don't want that. I just really want to help patch up this one area of my life. What does that take?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, again, you know, human habits take 21 days to form a true habit. And a lifetime habit takes a few months. So people can't expect one life coaching session is going to change all their habits. Because all it is basically you tried something on once and you're going to walk away and within like probably the next day you're going to forget the habit.
Right.
So life coaching is most beneficial if you do it for a minimum of a few months, because again, then you're every week or every other week, you're reporting in, you're setting action plans, you're practicing again, you're setting new goals. And, you know, you need to form that habit and get comfortable and strong and hit your goals before you stop the life coaching.
Okay. So one could expect maybe weekly visits for a couple of months.
I would say. And they're actually done over the phone, so there's no geographical limitations. Coaching is mostly like 85-90% of coaches do it all over the phone.
Now, that's unique. I didn't know that. So do you not have a place where you visit clients, or you can visit them in person if you want?
I can. I have met with clients in person, but quite honestly, it's easier probably from all parties over the phone, especially for clients, because they don't have to try to drive and be somewhere. You know, they just need to be in an area that's quiet and that they can be focused.
Some maybe not when the children are home or when the spouse is home or when the roommates are home, someplace where they can actually devote that time to themselves.
Or lock the door at the office.
Right, right. Okay, so is a session an hour?
It is.
Like it's a 50-minute hour, just like in therapy?
A full hour.
It's a full hour, okay.
It's a full hour, yeah.
And then what does it usually run?
Per session?
What are we talking here?
Well, it depends. I have packages of 3, 4, 6, and a 2-month package of basically 8.
Okay.
So you're looking at anywhere from 345 up to 800 in that range of the packages.
Oh, that's very reasonable then. So it's not something that's cost prohibitive. It's really probably a pretty effective way to get some help without having to break the bank totally.
Yes.
It's maybe a good Christmas present.
Excellent.
I'd like a gift certificate for 3 life coaching sessions and to infinity and beyond, maybe. Okay. So you basically help set the plan for them. They say, I want to achieve this, but I don't know how to get there. Let's say they want to achieve a career goal.
So like a structure, I'm going to go back, structure of a session is, we're going to come in, we're going to talk about maybe what has happened over the past week. Then address, maybe how they felt, how things happened, if we need to work on that same topic. Then we go into, if they have a specific topic, that session that they want to talk about, what they want out of the session, and then we start from there as to finding out why they've been blocked, what are the blocks, and then creating the action plans to move forward to get them past that block.
Okay. All right. So if you're just tuning in, this is Real People OC, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin, and I have in the studio with me Joyce Catherine of Satori Discovery, and that's really easy to find. Satori, interesting word. I'm going to have you define that for me in a minute. I actually knew what it meant, like an aha moment, a sudden enlightenment sort of experience, Satori. And that's www.satoridiscovery.com. You can probably find some resources on your website, too, that would be helpful if anybody was looking to learn a little bit about life coaching. Not all life coaches are for every situation, but one of the things that we wrote up in the notes in preparation for this is identifying how your life would look if you'd reached your goals.
Right.
So you maybe help them visualize what the possibility could be if they met with their goals?
Absolutely. That has a lot to do with life coaching, because a lot of times for people to realize how to achieve their goal, you kind of identify what would their life look like if they achieve their goal. So or what are they missing out on? Like, what are they losing by not achieving their goal? And so I guess we'll go back to the New Year's resolution. And
okay.
I'll ask you, what are one of your New Year's resolutions this year?
Okay, me personally, hot seat here at KUCI. I don't know. I was glancing over at the fitness area, and I wasn't really prepared to discuss that because I had all these other cute ones, like maybe just keep my car clean. I'd like to start there. And by not achieving that goal, I'm frazzled everywhere I go. But I'm known for having a really messy car. It's like this little micro hurricane in there at all times. And I just don't need that anymore. I really want to have a clean car. I think the kids are going to have to get a little older. But that top line excuses on the fitness thing. I have every excuse, and they are so legitimate, I can tell you. They are the most legitimate of excuses. But there's just no time.
And I'm sure I've heard every single one of those before.
Yeah, there's no time.
Well, I mean, really, with fitness, truly, like I said on the notes, it is excuses, excuses, excuses. I mean, if having a perfect body was easy, everybody would have a perfect body.
Right.
But it's not. It does take commitment. It does take work. So I guess the question is, how does life coaching help with fitness? Again, let's go to, losing weight.
Okay.
I was listening to an interview of another health coach earlier this summer, and she just had this beautiful story about herself, and I'm going to share it if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love it.
She apparently for years had battled losing weight, and so no matter whatever fad diet she had tried and all these different methods, maybe she would lose but then double gain back, and it was the constant yo-yo. Well, then when she started looking at why do I have a block to lose weight and keep weight off, she discovered that when she was young, she was early development, probably one or two of the few girls in her grade at that time that, developed.
She was curvaceous at an early age.
Yes, in the top half.
Oh, I had that problem. I just tell people I grew into my boobs now. The rest just matches what was there already.
Yeah, and So for her, she was getting this unwanted, you know, uneasy attention from boys and older boys and men. And so she looked older than her age at the time. So she was getting this all unwanted attention and didn't know what to do with it. Then as she went into high school, she gained a lot of weight and she lost that attention. Well, the weight, as she, you know, throughout her years and was getting older, became her safety net. It became her shield from getting that attention. So subconsciously, she would never allow herself to really commit to a change of way of life for eating habits and exercise and diet, because that would mean that unwanted attention would come back.
Right. And if she was getting that unwanted attention right when all the young boys were coming online with their puberty, that would have been a really horrible experience.
Yeah.
I could see why she'd want to mask all of that.
And so in her 30s or 40s, however old she was, I mean, that fear from being a young teen was still there dictating her adult life.
Right.
And so life coaching can help with identifying, okay, that's where that fear was. And really applies to all areas with life coaching, is that a lot of times when we get older, our past has dictated who we believe we are.
For instance,
you know, kids when they're younger, their parent might have said, oh, you're stupid, or, you know, you're not worth anything, or maybe they were bullied by kids that said you're ugly or something. So when they heard it a few times, then they identified that word with who they were. And then their whole life was created of a being around being that word. And so you figure something that was said to them at 5, 7, maybe even 11, now in their 30s, 40s, they're still living that same word that somebody else said. It wasn't who they were.
Right.
And life coaching can help identify that and then realize you don't have to be that word anymore. You can be who you want to become. And you can set your goals and your vision and become and create a life that's love, acceptance, forgiveness, success, and abundance.
Right. And that's probably what the most important message here for today is that that's really everyone's true and just reward for living, is that they're supposed to experience that abundance, aren't they?
They are. And the limits in our life are the only ones are the ones that we set for ourselves, because we say, I can't, or all these excuses of why they can't make it to the gym.
Right.
Or why they can't lose the weight.
Right.
Aside from, say, medical thyroid issues, but most of the time it's because people don't want to get out of bed because they find it too easy to go to the refrigerator and snack instead of actually bringing out the vegetables and having a healthy food.
Right.
And if, you know, to life coach, it's also going to say, we're going to look at your schedule and I'm going to make you tell me what days you're going to work out and put them in your calendar. And once you write it down and write that goal, that's half the battle of actually putting it in there, because then you can't just say, oh, I forgot, or it's not really a goal.
So it's that accountability thing that you're really offering people that they can't give themselves, and that they can reject so easily with loved ones.
Absolutely.
And family. Okay, so let's talk about some of those things that we hear in magazines we're supposed to be doing, the vision boards, journals, all those things. Why are some of those things so effective? What are some of those modalities and why are they effective?
But just kind of what I was saying in regards to writing your goal down, a lot of times that helps bring the goals out there, because once you put it out into the universe, it's more likely that they're actually going to happen. It means you're holding yourself accountable because you put it in, you know, writing. It's out there in black and white. A vision board, I mean, it could be photos and pictures of, you know, maybe a boat that you want, a car, a job, or someplace you want to live, or your dream house, or it could be photos. It could be charts or graphs or, you know, pictures of a bank or something, depending upon what your goals are, you know. So it could be writings or words. But the fact that you're putting it out there and assigning truly, you know, accountability to it.
Right, right. That the whole vision board, is there anything related to life coaching and the concept of The Secret, the book that came out that's so powerful for so many?
I actually do think there is something to that. I mean, we haven't talked about it. You're lucky I know what you're talking about. But yes, I have read The Secret. But putting out to the universe, meaning the law of attraction.
Right.
There's definitely, you know, some value to that, because a lot of the law of attraction is your mindset. If you're in a negative mindset and always telling yourself limitations, you're not opening yourself to the abundance. You're not opening yourself to receive the things. So by putting out there, hey, this year I'm going to make, you know, $250,000 this year, or I'm going to take on 10 new clients, or I am losing weight, you know, I am in the process, you know, that, you know, yes, I do believe, you know, the law of attraction, because you're opening the reception for it. And
right.
I kind of want to mention a little bit on what I was just saying. Saying things in a present tense versus the I want to lose 10 pounds versus I am losing 10 pounds.
Huge shift in how you are received, or you're receiving your own messages, is just by saying that. That's interesting. I'm going to try that one. That's a good one.
Another word with life coaching to kind of look around, not saying too much, is why. Because, you know, when you say, why me, you're knocking yourself down right away, and you don't even realize you're kind of cutting yourself off, you know, at the knees, because you're so focused on the problem instead of saying, you know, why did this happen to me? Instead of saying, here's an opportunity for me to shine, to find a new solution to grow.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good spin. And you can't always be the one to do that for yourself. So another good reason why an external advocate would be a good thing to have to your benefit. Your particular life coaching business, you have a bit of an emphasis. Can you tell me about that?
Well, my emphasis is our women.
Okay.
Really are my focus, primarily being a female coming from the corporate world and working in a man's industry, understanding that the specific challenges women have in, you know, a man's industry and career, and juggling, you know, personal life, you know, trying with fitness, career. You know, there's a lot of things that women face. I think sometimes we're still in a position of having to work harder to prove ourselves in the man's industry. And that's a bit of where my passion comes from, to help women. However, I have coached men too, but that's more where my passion goes.
Okay, probably because that's where your life experience is,
yes.
Right? You being a corporate lady yourself and understanding some of those particular challenges that affect women in some unique ways that maybe wouldn't affect a stay-at-home mom or a student yet. Definitely.
And I'll be honest, a little bit about my past, you know, with the balance and learning the significance of balance, is that, you know, early on in my career, you know, I felt I was having to make a choice between focusing on my career or focusing on my marriage. And I'm divorced, so that tells you the choice I made at that time.
Right.
And so I would say my career cost me my marriage, or was a contributor. And, you know, that really taught me, too, the importance of finding balance. And since then, I have found a great balance between work and life and, you know, love.
Would you say that you might have been a type A person before? Is there something to that?
I still am.
Oh, you still are. Okay.
I definitely am a type A personality.
Okay, which is such a great thing to mention. So we never really truly get away from our own nature, do we?
No, but you learn about yourself, of how to work with your personality. You know, learning to, instead of be reactionary, catch when you're being reactionary. And you learn to say, okay, you know, people that are the control freaks or stress mongers, you coaching, we can help work out some tools to stop, relax, whether it's meditation, breathing exercises, things that they can implement when they feel the stress coming on.
Okay, so you can help them deal with their personality issues so that they can be a little bit more effective.
They can be more grounded, more balanced, and it can happen. I mean, it has happened with me, and I'm definitely type A. And I used to be a major stress monger, and I think that for me too, helping out with my spirituality and really, you know, growing in that department has helped a lot with my balance in the stress department.
Nice. So that's a layer you can add to for your clients, as well as the spiritual aspect. Such an important part of it. You know, we neglect that in society today because it's not very popular. And I think whether you do or you don't have that to you, it's still very much a present part of the human experience, and it needs to be explained. It can't be explained away. So having the ability to talk on that level is probably important and can be very rejuvenating, maybe. We have about 4 minutes before we wrap it up here, maybe even a little bit less. Athletes have coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Singers have coaches. Olympians, they have coach. Actors, they have somebody standing there telling them what to do. I was chatting with somebody who's an acting professional, and she has a coach, and she said, oh yeah, he just sits here and just brings the emotions right out of you. And I'm sitting there going, he's just like a therapist, you know, or, you know, maybe more specific, a life coach, right?
Or a coach. Right. I mean, so every professional athlete, like you said, professional singer, everybody has a coach, because a coach comes in and sees where they could improve. You know, so like you were saying earlier about being an outside person seeing in, a life coach can see the areas that people have the roadblocks and how to get past them and how to improve. But just as with a professional singer or athlete or Olympian, they have to be willing to be committed to do the work. And sometimes it's going to be hard work to get past that plateau. But obviously, that's what separates people from becoming the great from being mediocre, is committing that. And life coaches can help people achieve that.
Interesting. What was one of your best stories of helping somebody get through a blockage? Do you have one that you'd like to share?
Oh, gosh, I wasn't prepared for that. I guess really I'm just going to say that when I see it and I hear the stories of their actions and they're getting excited about it and they come back to me and tell me how it's working. I mean, that's what makes me feel great, you know, is to hear how it's affecting their life and they're seeing it. Because once they actually start seeing it, then you know it's working for them.
Absolutely. Joyce Catherine, a wonderful 40 minutes. We thought we'd have a full hour today, but up next is going to be one of the sporting events that we do here at KUCI. I think it's basketball, but don't hold me to it. It's one of the sports that begins with a B. I should know that, shouldn't I? Just what a pleasure to talk about this. You can find out more life coaching. I mean, you did some basic searches. You can find out a lot about it. But SatoriDiscovery.com is your website, right?
And Satori is spelled S-A-T-O-R-I.
S-A-T-O-R-I, SatoriDiscovery.com. What a pleasure. And anything else you'd like to say? Final words, or
Well, I appreciate you bringing me in. It's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed the time. Thank you.
I'm happy I learned a little bit about life coaching. It was definitely something unique that I wasn't informed about. And I don't know, you know, we had a gal in here once who was a wardrobe coach, and I told her she couldn't come into my closet. There would be no way. But
maybe she needed to.
Yeah, she probably did, still does. But the thing that she said was so fascinating to me, and I think it really fits in the context of this discussion as well, is she said most people build their wardrobes around trying to fix problems they have rather than just dressing who they are. And I was so fascinated by that, because I think that has wider relevance. You know, don't just Band-Aid your problems through your day. You really have a choice and an opportunity, especially while we still hold on to whatever youth we have left. As long as you're walking, you're still youthful and thinking and reading. To really say, okay, we're not going to just Band-Aid the problems. We're going to figure out a way to dress for exactly who we are so we can be more powerful and strong.
That's great.
Well said. Okay, good. Well, so listen, up next, Heather McCoy is going to be putting on the athletic event, and you're listening to 88.9 FM in Irvine. This is KUCI.